You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel and chapter 18. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we can do that. So give us help, without which we have no hope. So God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of all the great truths of God's word that are meant to be understood and practiced. Now, having said that, therefore, this little exercise, just to remind us, if it is helpful. In the light of Ezekiel chapter 18, you remember the Israelites are going and saying, listen, we are not responsible. Our parents, our great-grandparents, grandfather, they did all this. And if they didn't do what they did, we'd be all set. But they did it. So they're passing the buck, blaming them. And and remember now, Ezekiel's at the same time, Jeremiah, and Nebuchadnezzar's leveling the city in this period. So, chapter 18. And you'll remember, I'll read it a little. And the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb, which is, concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. You'll never use this again. I'm going to make it very clear. And that's where Nebuchadnezzar levels the city. You won't pull that off again. And you're going to spend 70 years learning your lesson. Now, so therefore, verse 4, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All human beings belong to God, all of them. All human, he's the source of them. There's not one person born on planet Earth that isn't the result of God's personal decision and creativity. God, before the foundation of the world, Christ died for all of us. He had us all in mind, lined up to come into history at this point, and for us to come into history at this point in time. So here we are. All of us are here, and we're here because God created us. So since he's the only God, and he's the only creator, and he's the only savior, therefore we cannot escape participation. We cannot escape the plan, the purpose, the blueprint. We can't get out of it. But no way. So can I just come to church, go to church, and do this in this part of the world and that part of the world? And does it make any difference what we live, how we live, what we believe, and what people do? They do all kinds of things in all kinds of ways. Participation. Do I have to participate? Am I a participant? Now, so having said that, we have gone and inherited all of that from Adam and Eve all the way down through history. You and I, and all of the humans, and genetically and all of that, we have we inherit from the mother and the father the genes and all of the other things. And we get them, and we work through them, and your allergies and everything, they all come of it, handed down, depending on what your background and everything, culture and all of that. And we're all there. We're all part of it. So do we have to participate? Absolutely. Can you bypass your relatives? Well, no. No, they're part of it. All of us go back to the same source and come out. We're all part of it. So physically, That's obvious. Physically also, we keep in mind that we have mental and then the mental and all of that, different kinds of the brain. Each one gets a brain. All persons are the same inside. There's no large, small, big. They aren't like that. You have physical bodies. You inherit all kinds of things, and you get a brain, and some are good at mathematics, and some are good at this and that, and that's wonderful. But the person is the same. The person uses the equipment that you inherit. How's that? You inherit the equipment, and you use it. And sometime the equipment is faulty, and therefore the children or the people grow up, and it's difficult because they have faulty equipment. They aren't faulty inside. They're the same as you and I are. The faultiness is the equipment they're using. So you want to keep that in mind. So you don't want to, it's true, they're limited on the physical body using it. If you didn't have any hands, obviously you couldn't use them. So in the light of that, physical, mental, the atmosphere, we all live in the same atmosphere, the national, global situation, the moral situation, all the different philosophies and everything. We live in the middle of it. We can't get out of it. It doesn't matter who you are. You can try to get a little island up there in some place up in the woods, out in the woods somewhere. But no matter how you cut the cookie, you're part of the system, more or less. And therefore, we are involved. We are certainly a participant. Now, so there's no way out of it. I need to know I'm a participant. What am I a participant in? What am I part of? Ephesians, if you would. And I would say Ephesians because God does. Ephesians is that wonderful epistle to start off. Think of Revelation 2. What is the first church of seven? Ephesus. Why? It's the model. It's the model. Shows you what it's all about. It's written to every place. It isn't to Corinth. It isn't to Laodicea. It's to all believers. Everywhere, no matter whether you lived in Rome or Antioch, it doesn't make any difference. All of us are in the same. We're participants of what? Ephesians chapter 2, you'll recall. And all of us, I'll read verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, not obeying, not believing. That's the devil himself. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we're all in the same family, Adam family. We're all in physical. We got the same old nature, all of us do. Now, God, what was your plan? What are we to be a participant of? Well, God, you did a wonderful thing. Because of sin, you allowed sin. Why did you allow sin? Because the Son of God, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would die. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So, God, you covered everybody so that no one's born on earth that isn't already covered. That's why we're part of it. You can't escape. You're part of it. Christ died for you. That's why you could be born. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, we were born. And sin came along, and we lost, by way of Adam, our relationship. Think you're looking at it still, Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you were the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You had no relationship to God. Slide over to verse 5. Do it again. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So we had a state of existence that was minus God. God was excluded. But are we participants? Absolutely. Absolutely. God allowed that. God allowed it and provided a solution for it. Now, having said that, so the condition then that we're born, dust, as you read in Psalm 103. Ephesians, if you go, chapter 2 and in verse 12. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's everyone's in the same. We're all participants. We're all God, but God provided a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful exercise for us to go through to understand our condition and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the solution for our condition. So sliding down again to pick it up, chapter 4. Remember, Ephesians is telling you about your wonderful relationship. You have a terrible one, dead in sins, but you have an awesome one. God has made it possible. It's your birthright. It's the birthright of every human being to be saved. Every human being can be saved. It's their birthright. There's no one, and you know, without Timothy and that, hold your finger here. Don't go away. Go over to 1 Timothy. Easy. First Timothy chapter 2, directly without a thousand other ways to say it. First Timothy chapter 2, directly to verse 4. Who will have, I'll read verse 3, for it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? That's what you want. There's no one on earth ever born that the plan, the purpose, the wonderful participation, they can't be born, they're born to participate. Now, in the light of that, over in chapter 4 and in verse 18. I'll read chapter 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And God, that's our condition. But, verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. Christ has given you a whole new look, a whole new way, a whole new life that God has given you. That's why you were born dead in sin, but that your birthright is to have wonderful life. That's what God intends, and that's what God has done for us in a most wonderful way. And while you're right next door, go over to Galatians and chapter 1. And if you'll note in verse 4, God who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So here we are, born dead in sins, disconnected, having no hope, separated, etc., etc. What have we got? Well, God has made it so that we're in this present world. It's an evil world, and God has us in it. And are we participating? We're in it, like it or not. Here we is, in this body, like it or not, in this world, like it, ready or not, here we are. Now, and so here's all the things going on nationally, globally, and every other which way are taking place. Now, and so in the light of that, we are traveling through time, traveling like on a train, or the train you may not, but the globe you'll have to. You're spinning. Here we are sitting here, and as we spin around the sun, all those miles, 66, 1,000 miles an hour or whatever. And there we're going around and around and around. We're spinning in God's wonderful thing. 1,040 miles per hour, 1,046 if you want. We're spinning around just like this, but we don't feel dizzy. We're just right here. It's what we are. We're traveling. And all the time we're spinning, we're traveling and traveling. The calendar, the time, everything's going. So we're in this present world, and the world rotating, and the sun rising and the sun setting and all of that. We go to sleep and we wake up, and we're doing it. And all of it as it takes place in our unavoidable participation. May not like it, may not want it, but you're sure there's no one on earth that is not participating. They're all participants. So therefore, God, so you have a plan, a wonderful plan, and that we have a right to be born, to save, to know God in the most wonderful way. You know from our lot, here we are as our lot, and here we are living on planet Earth, and we're here for a few moments, and then we have our plot, then we die. So everything's going. So we had our turn on planet Earth. All the people before us have had their plan. The people that are dying right now across the face of the Earth, all over, they're all dying. They have their time and they have their plot where they're going to be buried and all that kind of thing. And so all of that's taking place, and everything you want to look at is going to come out the same. Titus, what are you going to say in Timothy? God, help us. You brought nothing into the world, and it is 1 Timothy 6:7, and it is for certain you what? You'll take nothing out of it. Nothing. You bring nothing in, you take nothing out. Are we participants? Absolutely. Absolutely. What are we in it? Are we in it for good or bad? Are we in the darkness following the world system? And the world system, what? The world system is what we're getting. That's what the whole world is, basically. And we're getting our information from what? The world system. You want to know what it is to believe? That's what the world thinks, all kinds of things. You want to know what it is about sin? They think all kinds of things. You want to know what it is about government, about peace, about joy, about love, about God, about heaven, about hell? Wherever you want to go, the world's got all kinds of thoughts. Depending on who you want to read and look at and follow, it's there. We're participating. And we listen to the world. That's darkness. And God told us, your darkness is no good. We got to stand in the light so we can see. Otherwise, we can't. So God, that's why he told us to be saved and receive you as our Savior. Because you're the light of the world. So God, having said that, we bring nothing in and take nothing out. So in the light of that, so we're all there. We all have our birthright, as was said, and we're to exercise that birthright. And God, what have you done? Well, you went and died on the cross, and you died our death. We're dead. We read it in Ephesians 2. You're dead in sins. That's right. Now, God, and the wages of sin is death. We got that part. We stay dead. We don't come alive. We stay dead. Dead, dead, dead. That's what we do. We don't get alive. And God, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to go in your marvelous, marvelous grace. And you're going to go and give light and life as we look to you and as we receive you as our Savior. And God, we're going to be able to exercise that wonderful relationship. We have to choose that relationship. We have to choose it. We have a right to make the choice. Otherwise, you'd be robots. And no, God doesn't want that. Angels had to have the right to choice. Humans have the right to choice. And we have the right to choose, be it participant or we're not. I need to understand. Forget everybody else in the world. The world has, I just said, they have all their different thoughts about everything. If I'm going to go by what they say and think and write, I'm caught up in it. God, I'm looking. And that's why God gave us his word, so that we would understand, to be an intelligent participant. Therefore, in God's wonderful grace, do it. It's a good exercise for you again. Over to Romans 1 for the moment. In Romans chapter 1, may I pick up in verse 19. Romans 1 and in 19. And you will note, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, simple, where? In them. Why is it in them? For reason, God hath showed it unto them. Not I did or you did, God did. We shared that 1,000,000,000 times. So no one can ever say, I didn't know. Yes, you did. When you were little, you knew for sure God's wonderful person because he told you so. Now, what are you going to do with that? Now, having said that, so there we all know, that's right. And in the light of all knowing, chapter 3, and you pick up in thought, the whole movement of thought, chapters 1, 2, and 3. And you go to verse 19. Now, I'll read verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Why? So the Jew and Gentile, law and no law, saith unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world, the Jew and Gentile, may become guilty before God. So what do we need to know? We need to know we're guilty, and we need to know we need to get saved. It's our birthright. It's our birthright. It isn't to be born in the sewer and sorrow and suffering and everything else that goes on earth with all the pain and heartache and war and rumors of wars and everything. It isn't that. That's what we're born into. And God said, listen, I want you to know. I want you to understand. I want you to understand this another, that I've come to save you. You have a wonderful right to be born again. You have a wonderful, God puts it in the heart initially. God puts it in the heart so that I might know. I have the right to know him. I don't have to get tied up in idolatry or philosophy or any other dumb thing that's going to leave me naked and nothing when it's all done. Leave me with a pile of books about a pile of thinking and thought that are going to be back to the dust of the earth. That's all they are. They leave me with nothing. I read the book. No, God gave the book, which is his word. God is the word become flesh. So now, having said that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So God, we all know we're all guilty. And Christ, you let us know we're dead. The wages of sin is death, and we understand death. Why? How do we understand death? Because you don't have any life. I'll do it easier. Why don't you understand light? Why don't you understand light? Because you're in the darkness. And you can talk about light for the next 50 years, but if you have never seen light, how would you ever be able to know it? You could use a sentence. I could repeat a sentence about light. I couldn't know what it is, though. I have to have light, sight, to see light. If I'm going to be in the darkness, I'm never, no matter how I do it, it ain't going to come out. So therefore, God, let's take it another step. Well, I believe in Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. He died on the cross. Of all that, and it's true. You want to sit down. If you want to go back into history, all of world history, Who is the one person that stands out with all the unbelief and darkness and idolatry? God is. God, did you get everyone's attention in the Genesis flood? What would be your answer? And the guys that came out of the flood, the sons of Noah, did you guys, you just lived through this thing, and you just saw the elimination of all human beings that were living at that time. So God, do you understand it? Yes. Now God, so everyone, that's why you have the Incas, Aztecs, Mayans, or whatever you want to go, all the different places. When you read their history, their history as they understand it, and you read every now and then, and the flood. They won't say the flood, the great catastrophe, the great thing that happened. How come they all know that? Did you ever ask that? How come they all know this stuff? Because it happened. They're out from it, do you see? And now God, when we cross the Red Sea, when we cross the Red Sea with Israel, who in the world didn't know that around then? God says it, doesn't he? He said, I want everyone to pay attention to what I'm doing. Is Zeus doing it? Is Mickey Mouse doing it? Who's doing it? There's only one person that does this stuff. And it isn't our religious idols and philosophy. It's a God. And how do we cross the Jordan? You did the same thing. You opened it up and everyone pay attention to what I'm doing. So all God's wonderful, and then God says, I created the heavens and the earth, the flowers, the bugs, the bees. I say it all that wonderful, wonderful things for you to look at and understand, Romans chapter 1, but you don't want to. So I'm not saying anything. I'm not doing anything. Now, you either believe by faith, the only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah. No other. And that's where the believers come in. Hang on, I don't want to jump ahead. 1 Corinthians 15. If we just have Jesus, like lots of people do, churches do, people do. Chapter 15, sliding over, verse 19. 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most, what? Miserable. We got a Jesus, he's a hero. No, he's your God and Savior. You got to know him. You can't just say, I love Jesus. No, that isn't going to save you. You got to receive him as your Savior. I love pizza. Does that save me? I don't love pizza, but if I did, I like pizza. That doesn't save me, you see? No, I got to have him. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath no life. That's all. What's there to say? Wow. So God, here we are looking to try to understand all of these wonderful things. Now, in the process to get that, would you allow me to go a little exercise over to the book of Ecclesiastes? Solomon is going to do it for us. God used Solomon in a most wonderful way to do that. And let me just run through it. We did the whole thing, you know. And to remind ourselves, here we are participating. And we either are going to participate in the dark, and we don't know what we're doing, and you're right. You can participate in the dark or in the light. You can participate with God, without God. You can know him or not know. Take your pick. Take your pick, but you are a participant. No way to cut the cookie. And that's if I don't want to, then you don't have to. Chapter 3, Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the sun. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, etc., a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, etc., 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 etc. That's a time, isn't it? Because we're living. It's a, why, God, why did you make it like this? The sun's spinning, we're going around, I mean, the world is spinning around, and we're traveling around the sun, and here we are going on our little trip. God, is it, do we have to participate on this in this travel, in this trip, for this purpose? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I put you there. That's why I died for you. That's why I created you and put you there, to be able to participate. And by the way, when I'm all done with your participation, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and you're either going to be one place or the other. But you are going to honor me forever. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, hang on. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. I'll read verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. That, and we are. You're exercised when you feel good. Aren't you exercised when you feel bad? You're exercised when things are going easy, when things aren't going good, etc., etc. You were doing good when gas was 30 cents a gallon, and now it's $5 a gallon. Whatever, I'm just, I don't, not yet. I think it's over $4 in California. You know, wow. All I got to do is, anyway, I'll tell you, just put the, connect the pipe back up and you'll be all set. Flow right into your gas tank. And now, in chapter 3, verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful, beautiful, useful, useful, beautiful. In his time also he has set the world, eternity, world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So without God, what am I going to find out? I know I'm alive. I know I'm a human. And I know I'm not, I know. That's why people have funerals. Why? Because we know. Well, we don't have, when was the last time you had a funeral for a squirrel? You don't have funerals for squirrels or anybody else. Just for humans. Well, because we know it. We don't stop. We know that in our gut. That's verse 11. God said, I put in your heart, you are a soul, a living soul. You do not die. And we know we do not die after this, the judgment. We know that now. So here we are going. And verse 11, he had put everything made from the beginning to the end. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over at chapter 7. And in chapter 7, picking up the thought again, chapter 7, if I can, verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he, God, hath made crooked? You can't. Verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But on the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other. One good day, bad day. Two, the end. For what purpose? That man should find nothing after him. And when you're all done, what'd you get? I have nothing. What did I learn? I had a day and everything's gone. Aren't you looking for something to, where's this supposed to be going? Up and down, off and on? Are you supposed to get somewhere? But I'm not getting anywhere, God. Okay, chapter 7, and verse 15. All things I have seen in the days of my vanity, there is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. That doesn't seem fair, but it is the way it is. The good guy dies, the bad guy lives. Things that are wrong seem to prevail. Things that are right disappear. It doesn't seem fair, God. It doesn't seem fair at all. But that's the way it is. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 17. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, on planet Earth, spinning around the world, sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it out. So by human energy, the best humans, the worst humans, the good, bad, smart, dumb, doesn't make any difference. You can't come up with the answers. You have to include God. You can't get rid of God. That's why Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. You want to get any answers about anything, got to get to God. You can't leave him out. That's Ecclesiastes. We're going to leave him out and come up with the answers. No, you're not. And God made it so you can't come up with the answers. You can't come up with them. Every time you solve something, we solve this virus, to the next thing, to the next thing. You never end. It's not going to end. No, you've got to look to God in a most wonderful chapter 12. Verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while what? Before the evil days, that was nice to be 6 years old and not have anything. But you aren't 6 years old anymore, and now what are you going to do? And you get older, and you got everything. You got your own physical bodies, you got your families, people living and dying, the things that are hard, things that are easy, they aren't easy. The world system is going, we'll see that tonight, going. So God, what are we going to do? So, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. No, it's one thing to be 6 years old, it's another thing to be 106. Well, they're just not the same. Sliding over to the end, conclusion, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God, you're going to do the whole thing and make it work out? I am. It's going to come. That's the way it's going to go. So here's Israel. Israel, God looking, and Israel is an awesome, awesome nation. And in the process, here's the Israel, and they're in the wilderness, if I can say it that way. And out in the wilderness, what do they have? Well, they have a wonderful opportunity to go straight from Kadesh Barnea, straight up into the land and take the land with the giants and the chariots and the obstacles and the opponents and everything that's against you, impossible. But you are participant. They're doing what they're doing. You are a participant, but you're on God's side, walking in the light and not in the darkness. So therefore, in the light, you keep going, and you're going to beat darkness. Light conquers darkness 1,000% of the time. No? If you have your dark closet, and you have several different lights, test any one of them you want, and open the door and stick your light in. And what happens to the darkness? The light isn't going out. The darkness is. You can't put out the light. We can put out the light like the wick and lose our oil, a relationship, so there is no light. But practically, you can't put out the light. So God, as we walk in the light, as thou in the light, you do wonderful things for us. So therefore, Israel is going to spend in their unbelief 38 years in the wilderness, totally unnecessary. But because they didn't believe God, they spent 38 years in the wilderness. Hang on. Caleb and Joshua, Moses and Aaron lived the time. They had to live through the 38 years of unbelief, didn't they? They weren't. They were believers. God kept them right in the middle of it. You're right in the middle of the system. They were in the middle of the system. The system didn't go away because their heart was right in the light. The system pursued itself. They stayed in the light all during the 38 years. So, I'm asking myself, what's the use? What's the use? Well, here's Israel. Israel's going to go and look to God and the captive kings and all of that. And all the kings, good kings, bad kings. And they go that and they come down. And when you're all done, the 12 tribes of Israel are in captivity between Assyria and Babylon. What about the 12 tribes? Their captivity, and there they are. Look at the Jews today. So what's the use? I mean, it doesn't come out. No, it doesn't come out. It doesn't come out. But the heart is to be kept in the middle of it all the way down. Jeremiah, horrible, horrible thing he had to live through. So Ezekiel. But the point is, they were there in the light, and that's what they did. They couldn't change anything. They were participants, so was the rest of the crowd, but they're participating in the light. The rest of them are participating in the dark. That's their choice. It's their birthright, to be or not to be. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and God's wonderful grace working all the way down the line, down the corridor of time, in the corridor of time as you go down. So human history goes down the corridor, the Israel and the land, Jerusalem, etc. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his wonderful humanity, lived in light. He walked in the light. He was light. And all around him was darkness. But you know, he was intent on going to that cross, all the way to that cross. Darkness is everywhere. And we shared it a little bit ago on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Total darkness like we have. Lord, to be dead, spiritually disconnected. He was there. He was there. Wow. He knows. But God, he was participating so that we could be participants. He made it possible for us to journey down the corridor of time in a most unique and wonderful way. So God, here we are going, and we're looking to you in your wonderful grace to save us, and only you can go and save us. So we could say, what's the use of continuing? Why bother? Well, because you're a participant, and you are going to be participating on the dark side or the light side. You're either going to come out and survive and come out of it to the glory of God, or you're not going to come out to the glory of God. Your lot and your plot are there. Humans, all over the place, 7.8 or whatever is billion of them, are there. There we are. And they all have the right to participate. We have the right. That's why we got all this information. So we aren't stupid about it. We're supposed to be understanding. God has no pleasure in ignorance. In fact, he covers it, doesn't he, in Leviticus? The sin of ignorance. You should have known better. Oh, I didn't have time. Then you didn't know. Why didn't you know? So God, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I may, and the people of Israel are going to say, and are saying it, they're reaping it, God, we have no king but Caesar. No, we have no king, but, and by the way, his blood be on us and on our children. And they're reaping it. They're reaping it. They asked for it, and they got it. But God, they got it in God's grace. In God's wonderful grace. Now, why is that so wonderful? Because, over to Ephesians. Remember, we started with that to tell us the dark side and the light side. And in Ephesians chapter 1, picking up, please, if I can. You'll catch it if I can. Chapter 1, going to verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now that's why you are forgiven. His grace. Now why is that different participating. What's the sense? It isn't anything. No flesh shall glory in his presence. It is impossible for flesh to glory in his presence. So all of our efforts to get into the light, to work things out, we're going to work them out, going to do what we can to make it, huh? Are we? You betcha. We're going to do it. But you can't do it. That's what we read in Ecclesiastes. You can't do it. Don't you understand? What I read 10 books. I don't care if you read 1,000 books. What difference does it make? You don't have any eyesight. So God, what are we doing? God, you give us wonderful grace. What is that? It's God giving to the miserable his mercy. It's God saving you and me totally, 1,000,000% by himself. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain. God did that. You didn't even have a say in it. You didn't even have a say of being born physically. You were born. All of it is in God's doing. And that's God's doing. It's God's doing to save you. It's God's doing to give you light. It's God's doing to give you life. That's what you're doing. It's all grace. And that's different. All the rest of it is our energies and everything trying to work them out. But grace is different. What is our assignment, by the way? I got to quit. Over to Ephesians chapter 2. And you'll notice, you know it, verse 6. Why has God saved us? I'll read verse 5 even, because we read it. When we were dead in trespasses and sin, hath he quickened, made us alive together again with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What on earth for? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What's he doing? Israel, 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 right? Where is God's instrument? Genesis to Malachi, to the Lord, and there's a stop. You aren't using Israel, no? Acts 15, there. I'm taking a people out for his name. That's what he's doing right now. I'm taking a Gentiles and Jews. Jews. I'm taking Gentiles and Jews and showing what? Grace in a body. Whose body? The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's full of grace and truth. Whose body? His. What do we do? What's the body doing? Showing the grace of God. They're showing the head, who's full of grace. Verse 7, chapter 2. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God, what are you doing? I'm demonstrating grace. So are you a participant? No. God said, listen, I have made it possible for you when your wonderful birthright, as it were, to know me, to honor me. I created you for that. And sin loused it up. But I made provision before you were ever born to be saved. Now, all you had to do is honor me. And by the way, when you were a little baby, just haven't even got your psychological birth yet, when you were a little old baby, I told you who I was. I let you know I was God. You knew the totem pole wasn't God. And you knew the stars aren't God. You knew all that. You don't have to be smart to know that. You know they aren't God. So God, I told you all these things so that you could be saved. A wonderful, wonderful privilege to save you. And that's what I gave you. I gave you all of this opportunity. And depending if you're going to go the adult world and follow the world system, whatever culture or background you're in, you're going to get caught up in it totally to your own demise. You're not going to come out good because they aren't coming out good. They're in the dark. We're in the dark, pantheism and all of it. Where's it going to go? You know, come back as a moose or something. What can I say? If I can, over in 1 Thessalonians closing, appreciate your time, your patience. What are we going to do? What are we doing? Well, we thank God that we're participating, and we aren't looking at the, oh, what's the use, do anything, and nothing's going to come out. Does it matter who believes what, when, where, how, why? Oh, no, it doesn't, because they're all in up the same place. All going the same way. They're all in the dark. If they're all in the dark, what difference is the one? What difference does he say? I love Jesus. You can say whatever you want in the dark. Do whatever you want in the dark. They're all the same. So this guy may be writer, this guy may be, you know, no, I just want to walk in the light. And God will help me get there. That's all. I'm a participant. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, to wonderful, wonderful believers in northern Greece. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, from heaven's plural, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for the Lord, walking in the light. What else are you doing? We walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is what? It isn't making you super duper. It's just a what? It's cleansing you. That's all. Keeping you clean in a dirty world, a dark world, evil world. So we aren't trying to solve anything anymore. We're dead. I agree. My old nature is the same as the old nature out there. We got the same lousy old nature. It didn't go away. I hate it. But I got it. I can't get rid of it. I don't even want to honor it. But we got a problem. So God, what are we going to do? Walk in the light. That's all. And not fuss about it, not fume about it, and not make a big to-do about it. Just thank God. Thank you. Did you ever wonder how he said that so many times? Thank you. Well, what am I to say? Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being my God and Savior. Period. Now, how hard was that? I didn't have to solve anything. I'm a participant. You're participants. Participate. We'll pray. Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts and homes and health and wealth, God. And we're either going to be in the light or the dark. We're either going to be walking by faith and not by sight. God, thank you very, very, very much for all that you do and all that you're doing. God, we owe you. Help us, Spirit of God, please. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.